All right. Hola, hola. Welcome back to Vos Memos. I'm sure you've been on the edge of your seat for this. It's been like 2 weeks, but to me, I've recorded this all on the same day. It was just a mega episode, and I didn't know if I wanted to have people sit through that. So yeah, part two, I'm going to talk about Seoul and like kind of my future plans for documenting the trip. And yeah. So I'll just jump right back into where I left off last week. Okay, so yeah, last part, we talked about Tokyo. I've been presenting this at work, and it has not taken me an hour to talk through everything, but I guess that's the nature of a podcast, is like I can go in more detail, I can tell you all like the nitty-gritty details. So yeah, I had to split this into two parts. So yeah, I'll just rewind, take you back to flying in to Seoul day one. And okay, so jumping back to the timeline, first full day in Seoul, we called it Young Seoul. We spent the day or the morning in a park. We got our breakfast sandwiches, which, you know, there is a Korean breakfast sandwich shop in the Minneapolis Skyways, but I don't know. Maybe I haven't found the right menu item. Not trying to throw shade, but the sandwich was really good in Seoul. And then I had, of course, a matcha latte with it. Something interesting that we saw in the park was there were all these tents. And I didn't really take a lot of pictures of it because from the Western eye, tents in a park isn't very photogenic. But to the citizens of Seoul, it's a blast because you just bring your full-on like camping tent to the park and just make a day out of it. Just lounge in there. They have like different people you can rent like a full like picnic sets from, like mats, so that you can lay on the grass and you can order your food right to the park. So that was cool. I wish our parks were a little bit more like set up for that. Like, I think people would go more if like there were a bunch of vendors there and like it was, you didn't have to haul your picnic blanket over there. Like, it makes sense because it's very walkable. It makes sense that they would have a bunch of people you could rent things from at your final destination. So I loved that. Like, took a moment to like recharge, and then we had to hit the ground running again because we spent the whole morning in the park, went to the Mangwon traditional market. And we got mango smoothies, literally like $1 for a small one, $2 for like a ginormous one. Saw a lot of cool vendors there. We had the hot talk. I'm so sad. I can't find hot talk here. Because it's basically like a crispy pancake. And then, of course, like the Korean bread is very sweet. It's usually covered in sugar. And then this, a traditional topping for it is to stuff it with seeds, like pumpkin seed, like sesame seed. I don't know what all the seeds were, but it was just like sweet, crunchy, fried, crispy, warm, cozy, like anything and everything you'd want in a snack in one little bite. So I loved that. And then we were off to, I think our next stop was, so our next stop was shopping. I found these amazing jeans, like, and my friend Mimi, she's so good at like convincing you to get it if it's a deal. And so like this was like a discount store where it's like extras or, you know, like just discards. I don't know, kind of like Nordstrom or TJ Maxx. Yeah, just a bunch of like designers all for super cheap. And I found these jeans. Like, they were very striking because they were at the end of a rack, butt facing out. And the butt was the interesting part of these jeans because it has like this pink stripe on it. I'll put a picture for those of you watching. But it has this pink stripe across the butt and a squiggle. And then it turns into like this little cartoon of a gnome. Which, like, as I'm saying that out loud, I've never heard of a jean like that. But I was drawn to them because of pink. And Mimi was like, you gotta try these on. Like, at least try them on. Like, let's see if you like them. And the thing is, like, in Seoul, baggy jeans are super in right now, and I mean, the U.S. had a baggy jean phase. Maybe we're still in it. I don't know. But it was never this baggy. Like, these girlies, like, their jeans are barely hanging on there. When I, and I, spoiler, I did buy the jeans. I was safety pinning them to make sure they wouldn't fall off. I do want to tailor them. I'm scared, but I do want to tailor them. But anyway, the big reveal. These jeans, I got them for like $15 USD. They were originally going for over $100. So great find. Plus, I got another pair of jeans, just as baggy. These ones have like some studs on the bottom, so they're a little more edgy. So I was able to blend in with the Seoul fashion. Basically, the next day I wore the pink, the one with the pink doodle on it. And then the day after I wore the studs. And by day three of Seoul, I blended in. Because it was so interesting. Like the first day, I'm wearing my own clothes and I'm like, I do not match the uniform here. Everyone in the subway, they'd exit and it looks like they're leaving the same store. It's all monochrome. It's all like very polished. Like I feel like if you look at like a public event in the US, it's like a sea of color because everyone's got their own fashion choices from the most casual like pajamas to like the fanciest blazers and like cocktail dresses. It's a whole range, no matter what event you're at. But the people of Seoul, they have a uniform. And I respect it. And I was assimilating by the end of it. Because I didn't want to stick out. And also, it was fun to like try to adapt some of the clothing. And I feel like it's influenced my style now. I'm like on the hunt for more simple but elevated pieces. Because I really liked what I saw when I was there. And except, of course, I found the most colorful thing I could find while I was there. And then the cat scarf in Tokyo. So you can't take the artist out of, you can't take the art out of the artist. I don't know. I have my own sense of style. I will try to bring in more from what I saw in Seoul. To end day one in Seoul, we went to Hongdae, which is a trendier area. I think it's nestled between or near two colleges. So a lot of young people. We went to this store while we were waiting for a reservation for Korean barbecue. Oh my God. I'll talk about it in a sec. We went to this store called Gentle Monster where you have these sunglasses. Like the thing people do there, like it's just a concept store. So these sunglasses are all like $300 plus USD. And no one's actually going there to buy sunglasses. Like, literally what you do is go with your friend or your boyfriend, whoever, and just take selfies in the sunglasses and then leave. Which I love it. I love a photo op. Seoul had so many photo ops. It was so fun. I felt like everywhere we went, there was a photo booth. I'm going to talk about, I mean, I guess I can say it now, like in Hongdae, like before we left for the night, we went to this photo booth and what I thought we were going to do is like the curtain and close it. You do like four silly poses and then you go. This one was an elevator. Like they fully built an elevator complete with the doors that open and close. And then, and it has mirrors everywhere. And then the camera was like up by where like a security camera would be. So you get your four pictures, but it looks like you're in an elevator. And I feel like people didn't get that when I posted it on Instagram. And I had to explain after. I'm like, no, we were not actually in an elevator. It was a photo booth that looked like an elevator, which is amazing. Like, who thinks of this? Like, where are those fun things in the US? Like, I want an elevator photo booth. They had a subway. They had, like, looking from inside of a dryer. Just so fun. Like, I love the creativity. I love, like, the energy. And so, yeah, like that was the last thing we did that day. But what else? The Korean barbecue changed my life. I need to eat it again as soon as I can. It was amazing. Like every single bite, like I love that there's 10 different toppings so that you can craft your, like your perfect curated bite every single time. Because I feel like, I don't know, there's a lot of dishes where it's like nachos. There's like the supreme mega nacho that all the other nachos are feeding from. And if you're rude, you eat that one. But if you're not rude, everyone kind of like tries to thin it down until it's a normal size nacho. If you know, you know, you know, you know what I'm talking about. But with like Korean barbecue, it's just like craft your perfect bite. Like every single bite is going to be the best bite ever. Like, or the, yeah, like it was amazing. And then there was like this spicy octopus salad. I loved that. Honestly, I just felt like there wasn't enough. Like I was like, when we were getting to the final bite, I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this to be over. So that was amazing. I think I skipped the cat cafe. We were at a cat cafe for a while. They had prairie dogs at the cat cafe, and I'm very confused how they got them. I've never seen a prairie dog in captivity. It was kind of ridiculous. They were on a hamster wheel, giving everyone the side eye that wouldn't give them celery. It was very interesting. The cats were cute. We went to a cat-themed gift shop that had a meow soundtrack to it. Yeah, like really setting like the tone for this gift shop. I got these two posters. Let me grab them. So I got these two posters, and I'll link the artist in the description. ENGIS stuff. And so it's just so cute. There's like a cat getting like a hot coffee, and then there's a cat pouring a coffee that says take a coffee time. Just adorable. For some reason on this trip, I was really drawn to the color orange. I kept seeing orange everywhere. I don't know what that means, but now I have these orange posters. I'm gonna hang them up in my kitchen. I'm really excited because for the whole time I've been living here, the posters in my kitchen have just been these really generic things I made during COVID. I don't know. I just needed stuff on the wall. And now I have stuff that's like actually meaningful. Like I found it in Seoul, like in this random cat themed gift shop. I'll always remember where I was, like what I was doing, who I was with. And yeah, now I'm obsessed with this new artist that lives across the globe from me. So that's really special. And that was all day one. And we did the karaoke bar. You have to do like the little karaoke booths. When we were in there, at first I was like, holy shit, this is going really fast. Because they had two modes. You could either pay by like the time, pay for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or you could pay by the song. And so at first we were doing by the time, and I felt super rushed. I was like, holy shit, like we only have 15 minutes left. We only have 14 minutes left, 12 minutes left. And it felt like we had to queue up the next song really fast. We couldn't like decompress, couldn't get ready for the next song. And it felt like even counting us in, I was always coming in late. There was no backing tracks. It's just like all you. And then we were finally getting into our stride, like on our last song. And we're like, shit, like we would do like three more songs, but we're out of time. So we went out, we were like kind of sad. And then Mimi just asked the guy, she's like, can we just go back in and do like three more songs? And there was nobody there for some reason. Like, I think we were too early. Like, Koreans party late into the night. It was, like, 8 or 9 p.m. So he was like, yeah, go back in. And so then we did three more songs, and it was amazing. It was, like, exactly what we needed. And I am not a good singer. I will never say that. But I love karaoke, and I think, like, those booths are so fun. Like, you can go in, like, it's all ages. I feel like in the U.S. there's so many activities that are completely 100% tied to drinking because they're taking place in a bar. And of course, you can get a soda. You don't have to drink. But it's in a bar. Like, it's not family friendly. And it's not, like, teen friendly. And it's not casual because you can't just go sober. Especially karaoke here, because it's like, if you're singing sober to a full room of people, like, you like singing, you're like, and you're confident. Like, I can get up there on stage. I love the thrill of that, but I probably need a couple drinks. Just to loosen up, to just like forget what I'm doing. And so like I really appreciate it. Like we had the most sober fun ever, like that day, because it was just like we're just having a blast. Then day two, the palace. I already talked about like the Hete and the library, but the palace itself, it was like 14 different buildings. There was an audio tour, which was super helpful, so I knew what each building was. And then people will usually wear, like, you can get in free if you wear a hanbok. I didn't do it, and I kind of regret it. So if you're going, I would recommend. We just, like, it was going to be a lot of time to, like, go rent it, go there, like, get ready, and then also return it on the way back. So we skipped the hanbok rental, but I definitely would do it if I went again, because it was super cute. Like, it really immersed you in the moment. It's just like any historical place where, like, they have people there, like, in, like, dressed in the historical era. It just helps you set your mind in the right setting. So I loved seeing that, like, so many beautiful dresses and so much rich history. I wish we could have spent, like, I think we could have spent, like, an entire day in there. We spent the entire morning there and it flew by. So that was beautiful to see. So many water features too. And I think like seeing water is so good for you. Like, and we don't incorporate enough like water features into our architecture here, or like just in the modern era. I'm like, give me more fountains, give me more little streams and rivers and moats. Like, why not? Why not? I'm a fan. Next, we went to Iksundan. I'm so sorry, Mimi, if you're listening and I'm messing up all the pronunciations. I'm so sorry. I'm trying. This place was a traditional village that was converted into a market and cafe area. And the other thing about people in Seoul is they love their cute cafes. And the one we ended up at was adorable, of course, like little cute pastries. The drinks were beautiful. There were like these little seating areas with tiny tables. I don't know, like it was just cute for no reason. And then our lunch there was also amazing. We had this cheesy kimchi pancake, which I will be attempting to recreate because it was amazing. And then we had these lettuce wrapped rice balls with a pork sauce around it. That was amazing. That whole meal was just so cozy, and we came at exactly the right time because I have this thing with my boyfriend where it's like, if you get in line and nobody gets in line behind you, that sucks. But if you get in line and then people get in line behind you, it's fine. And we got in line and we were seated almost right away, and then a huge line formed outside. So I felt pretty good about our timing. And yeah, the meal was delicious, and I felt like, honestly, like 5 stars, like all the food was 5 stars, but this, the, like the venue, the menu, the seating, if you know, you know. It was so good. So good. And then we just shopped around. We went to that cute cafe. I just feel like all the markets were so like, I mean, they were outside, outdoor markets, and you just don't see that in the US. Like everything's AC, air conditioning. You have to drive to it. And it's huge. But these were all very intimate, small shops, boutiques. So, yeah. It was a girl's trip. So, there was shopping every day. What can I say? Then we are off to book our cable car up to Namsan Tower. So, this line was, like, huge. Like, an hour-long line. And I'm like, I waited in line for merch at the Eras Tour. Like, I can handle this. It did take an hour, like it was long, but we were standing in line next to this other traveler, and he was just, I mean, it wasn't like we talked the whole time, but he definitely would like chime in and be like, hey, like where should I go next, like what have you guys seen? So that kind of helped to just talk to somebody. And then he took our picture up there, we took his picture up there. Mimi did him well, like he could use those on his Tinder. But the view, like, first of all, the cable car up, I loved it. Like, there were just these beautiful, like, trees all the way up the mountain, and, like, the leaves were starting to change. And then, like, just this 360 view of Seoul. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen something like that, where you're on top of a mountain and the city is just sprawling around you. Like, I feel like you can go to the top of the Empire State Building. You can go to the top of whatever, the Sears Tower. I've done that. That's just not the same. Like, you're still very much nestled in the city, like, within the constraints of human construction, you know? But this is, like, on top of a mountain. And then there's a tower on top of the mountain. We didn't go up the tower, but the view was immaculate. And then they do the same thing that they do in Paris with the locks on the gates. And so there were so many locks. I think Mimi said Olivia Rodrigo left a lock somewhere. We did not try to find it. We didn't have a lot of time up there because we were at sunset. And we wanted to see the view, of course, from sunset. But also it was going to get cold if we stayed up there for too long. So we basically zipped around, got some cute pictures with the locks, got our banana milk, got our photo. Like I said, photo ops everywhere in Seoul. And then just watched the sunset and then traveled back down. It was so awesome. I usually don't do, like, a cable car thing. Like, there's cable cars everywhere. Like, there's one in Minneapolis. Haven't done it. But maybe I will now, because I just felt like it was so beautiful just to see Seoul from that view. So, yeah, then I'll skip forward to day three. We spent the morning at a cafe. We got brunch in what I call, like, the North Loop of Seoul. So, very bougie area. And the bakery we went to, just the smell of bread hit you in the face as soon as you got in there. What was interesting was this girl was hanging out outside of the cafe. And I was like, she kind of looked lost. And then she approached us in English and was like, can I join you? And if you've researched traveling to Seoul or traveling to South Korea at all, the number one tip is, like, don't join a cult. Because Koreans usually keep to themselves. But the cult Koreans, and they're very friendly. They'll be like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, let me join you for coffee. Let's talk. Let's become friends. And so both Mimi and I had, like, these red flags going off. We're like, like, is this a cult? Like, are we about to get, like, are they trying to recruit us? Turns out she was just there for an interview, and she just had a lot of time to kill. And she was trying to practice her English, talk to foreigners. But then she's not a foreigner. And Mimi's not a foreigner. So Mimi made a new friend. I followed her on Instagram. Like, we had a nice little brunch together. And she's just so brave for that. Like, so my best friend in Minneapolis, like, or one of my best friends in Minneapolis, like, Courtney, we met at a DMV. And because Courtney was brave for 1 second, she was like, hey, you look like you're the same age as me. You look pretty cool. Like, I'm pretty cool. Let's be friends. And I think, like, this was another sign to me that I need to do that more. Just be, like, 10% more extroverted and, like, reach out to somebody new and make a new friend on the go. And so I was very inspired by her. And, like, yeah, we definitely told her that. I'm like, you're brave for talking to us, and thank you for doing that, because this is nice. And so, yeah, brunch was amazing. Creme brulee French toast, Earl Grey tea jam, which I need to find a recipe for because, oh my God, it was amazing. And then we headed off to Seongsu, which is a very trendy area known for their pop-ups. And I have to explain this to everyone because I was surprised by it. When I think pop-up, I think of, like, little stand, maybe, like, in a mall, on the street. Very temporary, selling merch, whatever. Maybe it's a truck at most. These pop-ups were multi-room experiences, like, 2-week-long pop-ups. Like, they're going to be there for a while. We went to a Tylenol pop-up, which I was like, Mimi, like, really? Like, what does this mean? And then we were there, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, the first room was a full-on recreation of a pharmacy. Like, we're, like, trying to explain, like, how they invented Tylenol. Then we were transported to, like, this timeline tunnel. Like, it felt like a ride, like a Disneyland ride. If you've ever been to Hershey Park, like, you know, the historical ride, kind of like that. And then, and I'm sure if they had time, they would have added in a little cart to take you through it. And so then the next room, there's literally like this rotating room with projectors. They recreated an entire desert because you can't, like, with this new Tylenol product, you don't need to drink water to take it. And then there was like this Willy Wonka room where, like, you knocked on a door, you said a phrase, and then this hand came out and, like, gave you a lollipop or, like, a cotton candy. That was the flavor of the Tylenol. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I would be buying Tylenol after that, you know, like, that experience is definitely going to stick with me for a long time. And then, of course, they had, like, a photo booth opportunity that turned you into a Tylenol magazine. So I was very impressed. We hopped over to another pop-up for Swarovski Crystal, and they had a photo booth. And they had, like, outfits that Rihanna wore, that Kim Kardashian wore, that Harry Styles wore. Like, just these insane items. Very, like, museum-level presentation. Just temporary pop-up. So that was amazing. Like, never seen anything like that before. Yeah, and then, I mean, that was the last day. So we got dinner. We went to this very, like, moody cafe where there was, like, this, I don't know, like, black whipped cream on my matcha latte. A lot of matcha lattes. And I'm not even that much of a matcha girly because, you know, in the U.S., it's, like, very 50-50 if you're just going to get grass in your latte or if it's going to be, like, actually good. So, but over there, like, every single one of them was perfection. And then, yeah, like, our last thing, I'm trying to think what I want to say. Oh, the salt bread. So, yeah, like I said this earlier, most of the bread there is sweet. Even most of the food has, like, this undertone of sweetness, along with maybe spicy or whatever else. But the salt bread, it's been very trendy, I've been told by Mimi, for, like, the last year or so. And close your eyes. Imagine the best croissant that you've ever had, plus the best dinner roll that you've ever had in one bite. Oh my God. I'm like, I keep wanting to remember it so I don't forget it because it was, like, so buttery and warm, just, like, melt in your mouth bread. And it came with four of them. And Mimi let me have three of them. Like, it was so good. I, like, had them in the airport on the way back and I was just like, damn, how am I going to get this bread? Like, it was so good, like, life-changing bread. So all the bread there was great. And yeah, like, that was the trip, like a whirlwind. Like, it took, that was a long episode. And yeah, like, I think my plans to recap the trip even more, like, I want to create a section on my blog, like, for travel. Editor Angela here. The section on my blog is live, so go check it out at angelageorge.com, and you can see all the photos and articles that I'm writing about the Tokyo Seoul trip. I already have one up about the Tokyo food and different places in Minneapolis to try, so if you like what you see, subscribe for more updates. Thanks so much for sticking around for part two. I really appreciate it. If you liked the episode, like, subscribe, share with a friend. I don't think I'm going to become a travel blogger. There's just not enough credit card points to go around, but this is definitely one for the blog. And yeah, trip of a lifetime. Oh my God, can't believe I actually did it. And I hope there's a lot more travel coming up, but in the meantime, I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.